Herbert Kirby. Howard Smith is at the piano. And now, here's Gary.
Here we go. And it's brain-picking time once more. Not a very elegant phrase, but this is the time when we invite the folks in the studio audience to open their minds. Let us find out what they are curious about regarding radio, TV, show business, backstage in general. We have Durward Kirby in one eye with a hand microphone, Howard Smith in the other. And Howard, yes, what was
your name? I should like to know if you are as relaxed as you seem.
Do I seem relaxed?
Yes, you do.
My wife has a saying about that. That's a question that's frequently asked. People say, is Gary really as relaxed as he looks? My wife said he reminds me of a duck. Said he's calm, smooth, unruffled on the surface and paddling like crazy underneath. Everybody in this somewhat foolish business that we're in is a little nervous. When you work here, you're bound to be. You've got to be to be up on your toes. But I don't fret about things. You know, you come out and you do a show and you hope that it's going to work and trust to your batting average over the years. So, but I don't, I never count on anything in this business. Do the best you can and things will take care of themselves, I think. Thanks for asking. All right, Howard, you have a lady back there, please. What is your name?
Mrs. Lewis Chapel, South Haven, Michigan.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you, Gary, if you enjoy doing that new spectacular type TV show as much as you did your old one every day TV show.
When you say spectacular, are you referring to our Tuesday night show?
Yes.
Well, I'll have to go right home and tell the sponsor. We don't think of our Tuesday night show as being particularly spectacular because nowadays, in the language of television, if a thing doesn't have 27 stars on it plus Richard Nixon on roller skates, it's not a spectacular. But if you're referring to our Tuesday night show versus the daytime show, I enjoy them both, each in a different area. The daytime show I dearly loved for 8 years. Just loved it. Pardon? Why we aren't anymore? Because you can't do everything all at once, you know. You've got to conserve your energy. And I enjoyed the morning show for 8 years, but at the end of 8 years, I felt like, well, we had done that. And now it's time to shove off and do something else. So the Tuesday night show, to me, is now new and fresh, and a new kind of a challenge. So I enjoy it in a different area. Thanks for your interest. Now, we'll get to you in just a moment. Howard, you want to work your way around the lady in the blue dress, and I'll take the lady over here with Durward next.
Marion Sanagorski, Wayne Township. Are you ever going to have the man with the animals on your nighttime program?
Are we ever going to have Ivan Sanderson on the nighttime show? We have no plans at the moment for having Ivan on, simply because you can never tell.
No, I know.
When you've got Ivan and an animal on, you may want the spot to run 3 minutes.
I know.
Pardon?
I used to watch you sometime. You couldn't get him off the stage.
Well, you had no trouble getting Ivan off. But
no, the animal.
He had a bear on, and the bear didn't want to go off. Nobody wanted to argue with him, you know?
I know.
So it was nice that we had the time to say, well, we'll hopefully have 5 minutes, but sometimes it ran into 15, you know? All righty. Howard Smith has his hand up. What is the lady's name, please?
I'm Miss Harper from Chicago, and I want to ask you how you stay so young. First time I saw you is breakfast in Hollywood. You look now just like you did then.
Mrs. Harper, you either need glasses or you have a poor seat back there where you are. Kind of you to say so, but I'll tell you now, in the days in breakfast in Hollywood, you mean out on the West Coast?
Mm-hmm.
Jeepers, that would be 19... Anyhow, long about then I weighed 140.
Well, you look just now.
I weigh 156 now.
Take off just a little weight.
Well, you know, take off a lot of weight. That's where I notice it. I just notice I puff and pant a little bit more when I'm through dancing, you know? Thanks very much. Now, Durward, you have the young man here in the front? Oh, the young lady back here in red, all right?
I'm Agnes Albert from Covington, Virginia.
Hi, Agnes.
Hello.
Call right into the microphone and say hello.
Oh, excuse me.
That's quite all right.
They do something to me. The microphone, I mean.
Does it bother you, make you nervous?
Oh, no. Well, a little bit.
Wait till you've been on about a half a minute and you'll have a complete prostration.
No, this is completely out of... it doesn't have anything to do with your show, but I just wondered if anyone has ever told you you resemble David Wayne. I've always noticed that.
Yes, frequently. As a matter of fact, every now and then somebody will stop me on the street and they'll say, gee, I certainly enjoyed your picture the other night. And I thought maybe they saw a picture on the side of a truck or something. I said, what picture? You know, and they only said the one that you did with Rosalind Russell. I said, I didn't do any. He said, come on, I saw you last night. And Dave and I look a great deal alike.
You certainly do.
I have only had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. But we were in Dave Chasen's restaurant out in Hollywood one night, and we confused everybody by constantly switching tables. I'd sit with his party for a while, and he'd sit with mine, and people couldn't figure out which one was which. I'll tell you, another lookalike is George Gobel.
Well, you sound like... You talk like George Gobel.
Talk like George?
You certainly did.
I think he looks more like John Wayne.
What did you say, Derwin?
I say, I think you look more like John Wayne.
Oh, he's better looking.
Well, you're going to be around a long time. Yes, or B. Wayne.
He's younger.
Yes, the lady, please.
I'm Mrs. Richard Price from Phoenix, Maryland, near Baltimore.
Yes, Mrs. Price.
I have been very excited about yours and Derwin's association over the years. I was wondering if this association goes on as friends after hours.
I'm quite happy to say that it does.
Good.
As a matter of fact, I don't think the association could go on professionally this long if we did not get along well off the air. Now, I don't want to mislead you. I don't want you to think that when Durward and I leave here this afternoon, we'll go home to his house and have dinner together, and then tomorrow night he comes to my house to dinner. Quite frankly, by the time we get through 5 days of working together, we've seen pretty much enough of each other.
Well, really, over the years, it's been most enjoyable having you two together. I think you make a fine team.
Well, thank you. I hope that nothing ever happens to it myself. No, our wives get along beautifully, and we do go out together occasionally, but we just don't spend all of our time together, you know? You have to refresh yourself every now and then. We have got to knock this question and answer session off now, my friends. It's been a great joy being with you today. This being Friday, we will bid you well until come Monday at this same time.
Now stay with us for the familiar teletype machine and today's funny headline on Funny Side Up.
Hartford, Connecticut. London-born Warren G. Donnell became an American citizen in 1896. This week, after 63 years, Donnell finally decided to become a voter and registered in City Hall. He is 105 years old. Did you read that item in your newspaper? Well, if you didn't, don't worry, because this is Funny Side Up, the show where our zany panel of experts review the lighter and brighter news of the day. And now, here's your host, Bert Parks.
Thank you very much, and we trust you're all well today and in the mood to hear some of the unusual news items that our loyal listeners have been sending in. These news items, odd as they may seem, have all actually appeared in the papers. They're the real thing. Only the names have been changed. And now, let's meet the panel. Three people who are qualified to speak on any topic except the ones we give them. First, that effervescent and charming lady, Mrs. Martha Terwilliger.
Oh, yes, thank you.
Well, my dear.
Oh, good morning. Thank you, Mr. Parks. You'll have to excuse me if I'm not myself today, but I went to the supermarket this morning and came back loaded with groceries.
Oh, well, carrying those heavy packages is hard work, Mr. Williger.
Oh, I only bought a few things.
Yeah, but you just said you came back from the supermarket loaded with groceries.
I know. I had a glass of beer on the way and came back loaded carrying groceries.
Did you really? Do you usually have beer in the morning?
Oh, heavens, no. But this morning, my next-door neighbor knocked on my door, handed me this glass, and said, "Drink, it will make you feel wonderful."
So you drank it?
Yes. I had no idea it was beer.
Well, that explains it.
Yes, I thought it was gin.
You thought it was gin? I hope our listeners don't get the wrong impression about you, Mr. Willis. I know you, and I want everyone else to know that you're a fine, upstanding woman.
Yes, well, I wasn't upstanding after I had that drink.
Well, you'll feel better. You'll feel better in a little while. In the meantime, let's meet the rest of the panel. From the Green Mountain State of Vermont, that lovable farmer, Mr. Calvin Potts. Greetings, Calvin.
Oh, yep.
Is that a new suit you're wearing today?
No, but it's my good suit.
Mm-hmm.
I put it on by mistake this morning. I usually only wear it on Sundays or to special occasions.
Well, it certainly looks like new.
Well, it ought to. I take good care of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same suit I wore to my high school graduation.
Calvin, are you telling me the truth?
I am. Of course, I've growed some since then, but if you're handy with a needle, there's no sense throwing things out.
Well, now, has this suit been altered very much?
Well, let me see. Just last week, the cuffs... They had to be lowered 3 inches,
mm-hmm.
then raised 4 inches, and then lowered 2 inches and then raised 5 inches.
Wait a minute, all this raising and lowering of the cups in 1 week?
Yes, for a couple of days it was raining on.
Oh, it rained. What else have you done to the suit, Calvin?
Well, I tell you, I figured that the first place a suit wears out is the seat of the pants.
Mm-hmm.
And the last place it wears out is the lapels.
Well, what has that got to do with it?
Well, plenty. I switched the seat of my pants to the lapels and vice versa.
You switched the seat of the pants to your lapels?
And vice versa.
Uh-huh. Isn't that a little bit unusual?
No, no, it works out fine, except when I wear a pin in my lapel.
Yeah, then it's uncomfortable. I'm afraid to ask you about the other alterations, so let's forget about it and introduce your good friend of mine, that multimillionaire oil man of the great state of Texas, Bart Spender. There he is. Hello there. Hello there.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Boy, I tell you, I've been having a real busy day, shopping in all the department stores, visiting all the travel agencies, getting my passport, packing my luggage.
Yeah, I didn't know you were taking a trip, Mr. Spender.
Well, just for the weekend, son. I'm going to France on business.
Well, I know you have business interests all over the country, but isn't it rather expensive to go just for the weekend?
Well, it costs a fortune, son, especially the language lesson.
You don't speak French?
Not a word. Not a word. And I've just got finished paying $250,000 for language lessons.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This is too much. How can you possibly expect to believe that you spent $250,000 to learn how to speak French?
Oh, I ain't learning to speak French. That money is to teach everyone in France to speak English.
Oh, I should have known. I should have known.
You know, I want to understand them.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, personally, I think French is a beautiful language. I'm especially fond of the Romance languages.
Yes, they are beautiful, Miss.
Oh, I just adore them. Oh, just the other night, I was out with a gentleman from Sweden. Oh, and the way he spoke, I could listen to him.
Miss Terwilliger, Swedish isn't one of the Romance languages.
No? Well, you should have heard what he said to me.
Oh, you better... Well, panel, I think it's time for us to turn to the news. The first item, sent in by Mrs. Paul Hebert of Green Island, New York. This is it, panel. It comes from Hartford, Connecticut, and it reads, London-born Warren G. Donald became an American citizen in 1896. This week, after 63 years, Davis finally decided to become a voter and registered in City Hall. He's 105 years old. Any comments, Pat?
Well, now, he's 105 years old, and he's going to vote for the first time.
That's what it said.
What's the matter? Did he finally decide he didn't like the way things have been going and wants to change everything for the future?
I don't know. What is that?
Well, I think it's amazing, a man 105 taking an interest in politics.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Of course, on the other hand, it would be even more amazing if he took an interest in women.
Yes, that would be.
Well, I tell you, there comes a time in every man's life when he begins to realize the things that is really worthwhile.
Yes.
And when that time comes, a man forgets about women. He don't want anything to do with women. He don't care if they're short or tall, fat or skinny, blonde or brunette. When a man reaches that age, he really begins to enjoy life for the first time.
What age is that, Calvin?
I don't know. I ain't reached it yet.
Your age.
That's the way to talk, Botsy. It's real good to think young. Well, I still think the same way I did when I was 18 years old.
More like 12, if you ask me.
Well, you can't get my goat, Potsy. I'm proud to be young at heart. Yes, sir, that's what I am. Young at heart.
I don't know how young your heart is, but your mouth is sure right.
You know, Potsy, the more I see of you, the more I wish you lived in Texas.
You wish I lived in Texas?
Yeah, it's only fair that we Texans have something to be ashamed of.
Now, take it easy, fellas. Well, we're discussing a gentleman who's 105 years old, who's just registered to become a voter for the first time. Now, let's confine your remarks to that topic.
Yeah.
Well, I always say youth is just a matter of mind.
Do you, Mr. Willingham?
Yes, youth is just a matter of mind. And you should see the cute youth I have on my mind.
Oh, now, please. Now, let's talk about voting.
Well, that boy can have my vote anytime.
Mrs. Terwilliger.
Well, now, hold it. Hold on, friends. This voting is important to all of us. We should have a serious discussion.
All right, you have a serious discussion, and me and Mrs. Terwilliger will start nicking, huh?
Now, come on.
Oh,
will you please come to order now? Well, here we have a case of a citizen 105 years old who feels it's his duty to take an active interest in the affairs of the country. Now, that certainly bears talking about.
Well, actually, 105 isn't so old.
105 isn't old?
Not in Texas, ma'am. Why, with that fresh air and good food you get in Texas, people live to be 200.
Oh, come on. 200 is ridiculous.
It happens to be the truth, son. I remember my great-great-great-grandpappy. There was a man who lived to be 179. I was with him till the end. Happened. I was, yes, indeed. I was right there with him, and the thing happened, this tragedy happened at a football game.
You mean the excitement was too much for him?
Not the excitement, son. He was playing fullback, and he ran head-on into the goal.
How do you like that? That's one story I will never believe.
Neither I. I don't believe any relative of Spender's can get hurt hitting his head.
Now, that is a...
I, for one, find older men very attractive.
Why is that, Mr. Willard?
Well, they have that certain something. I don't know. It's hard to define.
Where I come from, they call it a social security check.
Okay. Can we please turn to another topic here? There's the next item, sent in by Jack Blackstone of Springfield, Illinois, Beirut, Lebanon. He's got them on. Send them to Jack. What are you doing with them on? In Lebanon, the police arrested a theatrical promoter when 7,000 ticket holders showed up at a 1,500-seat theater to see a belly dancing show. Panel, may we have your views on this?
Mr. Parks, you'll have to excuse me, but I do not know what a belly dancer is.
Well, it's a kind of a dance as a young lady who is... it's very simple. She merely... You tell her, Mrs. Spender.
Yeah, well, I can see that feller's been to one. Yeah. I mean, he stayed for the late show.
Yes, I think he produced it this time.
Well, I know he was in the audience.
Yeah, go on.
But I know what... Well, I've seen hundreds of them myself. I mean, they come out dressed in scanty costumes, and they have the... They do the... Well, what I mean to say is they should have studied voice.
Yeah, that's what...
Mr. Spender, you still haven't told me what a you-know-what dancer is.
Well, actually, Mr. Williger, that kind of dance is merely a very well-coordinated young lady who is capable of moving that region of her torso in rhythm.
Oh, I see. It's sort of a mambo turned around.
Yes, I guess you could call it that. And let's get to the issue now. This promoter sold 7,000 tickets for a theater that only has 1,500 seats. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, now, you say he sold 7,000 tickets for a theater that only has 1,500 seats.
That's right.
I'd like to get my hands on him for just 2 minutes.
You mean it upset you that much?
No, not at all, but I'm entertainment chairman of my lodge. I want to find out how he does it.
Yeah, but you know, selling more tickets than you can accommodate is criminal.
So is the food at my lodge dinner.
Well, speaking about food being criminal, you ought to eat my wife's cooking.
Now, we're not speaking about food, Calvin. We were discussing dancers.
Yeah, eat one of my wife's meals and your stomach does a jitterbug.
Now, don't you ever have anything good to say about your wife?
Well, yes, I will say this. She could have been a great dancer.
Now, you mean that?
It's the honest truth.
Yeah.
She could have been a great dancer, except for two things.
What were they?
Her feet.
Her feet. I should have known.
Well, if I must say so myself.
If it's a compliment, you must.
Now, don't pay any attention to him, Mr. Williger. What were you going to say?
Well, I was saying that I used to be a wonderful dancer. Not only a wonderful dancer, but I was a fine choreographer, too.
Really? Well, now, you know I never knew that, ma'am.
Oh, yes. Yes, Mrs. Spender. In fact, you might be interested in knowing that I was the one who invented the Civil War Roomba.
What'd you say?
The Civil War Roomba.
Well, no, I never heard of it.
Oh, it's a wonderful dance. The northern part of you stands still while the southern part tries to succeed.
Yes, oh, that's a beautiful picture.
Yeah. Well, I like all dancing, but I'm especially partial to the samba.
What's a samba?
Well, it's kind of like a waltz with your garters tied together.
Yeah, I know that.
Well, I see you walk in here today. Don't you think it's about time you untied them?
Now, Calvin, look, do you go in for dancing?
Say, it might surprise you to know that last week I won first prize in a mambo contest.
Now, that is hard to believe. You won first prize in a mambo contest.
Yeah, I wasn't even entered. Somebody dropped a lit cigarette in my back pocket.
And you... Well, now, panel, I think we should end this dancing question and go on to something of interest here. Time to time on this program, we've had the good fortune to hear book, play, and movie reviews by the head of our cultural department, Mr. Calvin Potts.
That's
oh,
right.
Yes. No.
Yes. Today, however, Calvin has informed me that he'll turn his attention to music. Isn't that right, Calvin?
That's right, yes. I tell you, music is the most beautiful thing there is. As the great poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow said... He said about music, he said,
What did Longfellow say about music?
Well, come to think of it, he never said a word about music.
And today, as I understand it, Calvin, you're going to give your own survey on the most popular music in the country, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. In New England, anyway. Yes. One of the most popular songs is one by Cole Porter.
Yeah.
It's all about a group of men that go out on a fishing boat on a rainy day. Their wives all pack them salami and raisin sandwiches. And when the boat begins to go up and down in the bad weather, why, they get to feeling pretty sick.
Now, wait a minute. That song was written by Cole Porter. I don't think I've heard of it.
No? Well, it's called When They Begin to Be Green.
Isn't that... Y'all want to leave? You can go on.
Particular. does. Well, now, Cole Porter is one of our greatest songwriters. He writes beautiful lyrics.
Yes, some of his words is good, too.
Well, that's what she meant.
Well, now, Patsy, I've seen dopes in my day.
Well, that's what you get for spending so much time in Texas.
Now, come on, now,
I refuse to sit here and listen to insults about Texas. Now, I admit every state has its share of ignorant people. But when we find an ignorant person in Texas, we do something about it. We don't poke fun at them. We get them jobs that suit their mentality.
What kind of jobs?
Teaching college in Vermont.
Oh, come on. Now, will you please, both of you, stop this carrying on. Now, if you can behave yourself, Calvin, can you continue with your survey of the most popular songs in New England?
Yes. Well, this next one's always been a favorite of mine. It's about a man. He wakes up one morning, goes to the office, and has a fight with his boss.
Hmm.
So he socks the boss in the nose and quits. When he gets home and his mother-in-law hears about him losing his job, why, they have an argument and she packs up and leaves. His wife gets mad at this, and when he tells her to shut up, she leaves him, taking their six screaming kids with her. And then this fella, he sits down and he eats supper all alone in the empty house.
Now, that is a popular song.
Yes, the title is When You Come to the End of a Perfect Day.
Yeah, that's
I don't like your kind of music. I prefer love songs. Songs like, You Are Love, I Love You Truly, So in Love, Love Me or Leave Me.
All right, I'll leave.
No, she doesn't leave.
Now, what's the matter with you, Patsy? Mrs. Terwilliger has the right idea. I go for love songs myself. Songs like, There's a Gold Mine in the Sky.
Now, wait a minute. That's not a love song.
Look, I ought to know what I love.
Oh, yeah. Calvin, are there any other songs on your survey?
Well, yes, there's one more that's really popular. Mm-hmm. It's about a man, he raises skunks for a living.
What's the title of that song?
I'll Walk Alone.
I mean, thank you, Calvin. I knew that was coming, didn't you? Isn't it terrible? Abstract art can now be turned out by machine. You just put a coin in the slot, choose your colors, and wiggle electric switches and arms powered by little motors and holding tubes of paint, splash, and paint on the paper. Any comments, panel?
How do you like that? I thought that's the way they've been doing it all along.
No. I get the feeling, Mr. Spender, that you don't really care for abstract or modern art.
Now, you hit the nail right on the head, son. That abstract art leaves me cold.
Mm.
When I want to look at a painting of a woman, I don't want her represented by a line.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at, Patsy?
If they ever done an abstract painting of my wife, they'd need about 3,000 lines.
Oh, God. You are impossible. How about you, Mr. Williger? You like art?
Yes, I love art. What's his last
name? No. I mean, art works.
Well, if he works, all the better.
Come on, Mr. Williger, you know what I mean. I'm afraid we're going to have to give the brush to the whole proceedings here, friends, as much as we hate to do it, but we'll be back Monday, and we hope you'll all be with us. Remember, keep sending in the items. If we use yours, you'll receive a lovely gift. Mail your items to Funny Side Up, CBS Radio, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, New York. In case of duplicate items, the one bearing the earliest postmark will be the winner. Till Monday, then, Bert Park saying, keep your funny side up. Thanks. Funny Side Up was created, written, and produced by Ben Jolson and Art Bear. Executive producer, Jack Hurst. Your announcer is Hal Sims.
The Gary Moore Funny Side Up Show has come to you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.